Welcome to today's broadcast of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast with Ed Taylor.
Hey, welcome again to today's edition of the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor, and I have the privilege of talking about the things of God with you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are on episode 307 in our third season, and we have the privilege of talking about what the Lord is doing, what He wants to do, what He wants to do in accomplishing His will on the earth today, and all that He wants to teach us as we're learning together, learning how to serve well, which will make us better leaders in the church of God, but also wherever we might be. We're looking at the principles that we have in this book that was just published here by Abounding Grace Media. We titled it Sure and Steady. The subtitle is Learning and Growing in Pastoral Ministry. And it's applicable for any kind of ministry. But this is a compilation of the different sessions that we've done here with our pastors, with our team, where we have wanted to grow in learning how to serve well. And so 25 years of ministry, this is where we are, some of the things that we're talking about. But one of the things, besides being reminders, right? You're listening in as we're talking through this, and you're like, but I know that, but I've heard that. And that's good. That's good. That means there's been some cohesive discipleship in your life and mine together. However, not only is it just a reminder, it's also things that we should talk about, things that we should be emphasizing in our ministries, things that are topics that we don't want to assume that someone knows as we're discipling them, as they're growing in grace. And we've been talking through these things. We finally put them in print. I've mentioned before that I'm a big whiteboard guy, so when we have staff meeting or we have pastors meeting, we have a whiteboard right on the wall. I'll take out my markers, we'll talk through things, feedback, interaction, and that's how you can use this resource. You can use it as a discipleship tool, you can use it personal devotions, you can use it in helping a person grow in their understanding of serving. It's a great tool, and this is what we use here as we talk through things. We talk about the church stuff, we talk about doctrine, we definitely have those times where we're addressing things and addressing problems with solutions, but we also talk about ministry, and that is where we are in this third season. And so if you have any questions, you have questions you want answered, maybe a topic provokes some thought and some questions you want answered, email me. My email address is ed@edtaylor.org, ed@edtaylor.org, or you can text me directly, 720-608-0012, and let's talk about it. And definitely put a review up on wherever you get your podcast. That helps the algorithms make it more popular, make people see it quicker in their feeds when they're searching for things. And also, if you would, forward it, share it on social media, let people know about it. Again, if we can serve you in any way, we would love to serve you. All you need to do is reach out and encourage you. As a matter of fact, that is something that we do a lot because we have such wonderful men and servants here at the church that we want to share anything that we have, share our knowledge or understanding or mistakes that we've made. But we also want to learn from you and collaborate together. And so the podcast is, you know, me going through some of the things that I've shared. I mean, what I'm sharing is not the answer to everything. It's not the complete culmination of everything to learn about the topic, but it's our perspective. And if you were here in the chair, you'd give your perspective, and together we could grow. And that's why emailing or shooting a text will help that. So if you have a question too that you want addressed, you guys, you know, this is what we're dealing with. We will continue in the podcast to take questions, answer questions. All you need to do is contact us, and I'd love to do that. So my name is Ed. I pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. Been here 22 years. So good. God has been so faithful to us, and I'm grateful to be a part of what God is doing here. And here we are with topic number one, like-mindedness with your pastor. A pastor is like-minded with his pastor. And that that leaves a lot to be said, but you could also say a spiritual leader is like-minded with his pastor, a servant, that there is order within the body of Christ. And more often than not, and I'm sure you've experienced this, a division starts because an assistant pastor or a leader or a servant in the church has lost the essential like-mindedness with the pastor that he serves with. They just lost it. It happened with Moses when they were questioning his leadership. Are you the only one that God can speak to? Well, the answer to, of course not. But he is the man that God chose to lead. And learning how to bring questions, learning how to live within submission. Now, before I move on, I have to say sometimes you lose like-mindedness because your pastor or leader becomes harsh or heartless or isn't serving in a way that reflects Jesus. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. What I use to describe that in our church is that where godly leadership exists, it is to be met with godly submission. But where there's ungodliness, we got to work it through. Like Matthew 18, you know, a spiritual leader solves problems biblically and spiritually and doesn't gossip about it. But that's a different topic for a different day. But like-mindedness is not conformity, but rather a unity formed through relationship. It's not a conformity where you are being conformed into the image of your leader or the image of your pastor. No, we're being conformed into the image of Christ. But there is a like-mindedness, a joining together of men and women for the sake of ministry and service to reach the lost, to serve together, a unified front. We like to say here at Calvary that we lock shields together, that we learn to fight the right enemy, and we're not each other's enemies. And if we do have disagreements or there are things that need to be worked out, we can work them out. But learning how to love through the challenges of any ministry is needed in this new relationship with your pastor as you begin to serve alongside of him. You want to learn how to pray for your pastor. You want to learn how to connect with your pastor and ask insight for what the vision is and what is God doing through him and why has God brought him and why has he partnered you together serving with him. And that's true pastorally. It's true with your spiritual overseer, with leadership in your life. You know, so much division is caused by just a lack of submission to leadership. Again, we're not talking about a lack of submission to bad leadership or to sinful leadership. Never, ever, never. But I mean, there's just like people come and they're, well, I think we should do it this way. Yeah, but you weren't asked to do it that way. And as you're developing those that serve alongside of you, you need to make it clear, and it's important that we understand that we all collaboratively and cooperatively serve together. Serving Jesus is the greatest thing that we could ever do. But remember, a healthy relationship with your pastor, with your overseer, requires honesty, openness, and regular communication. Because if you're not like-minded with your pastor, if you're not like-minded with your spiritual overseer, your leader in your life, even some of the people that are serving alongside of you, talk to him, talk to her, work it out. But don't cause division. Division, even in Proverbs chapter 6, it talks about things that God hates, and he hates those that sow seeds of discord. That's not from the Lord. It's not his heart for us. We are to learn to submit and give each other grace. Grace and love cover such a multitude of sins and differences. And of course, we're different. God made us that way. But isn't it a beautiful thing that in all of our differences, we come together unified in Christ, one spirit, one body, one church, one Savior? It's so great. I think of Amos 3:3. You remember it. I bet you remember it even if you haven't memorized it. Amos says, "Can two walk together unless they're agreed?" No. No, they can't. No, they can't walk together unless they're agreed. There will always be this tension and this difficulty if you're divisive and if you are always arguing and always complaining and always upset. So then, Ed, what do I do? Well, first of all, we're reminded if it's sin issue, then you need to deal with that. If it's a personal issue, you need to deal with that. And this is the pattern that we have. Jesus taught, moreover, This is Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. I mean, imagine the type of unity that would exist if the church regularly practiced this, regularly. I mean, how much gossip would stop, how many nasty Facebook posts would stop. Like, if we would just go to one another with a heart to resolve it. Like, the whole point here is to gain. We want a brother to hear, and we want a brother to gain, right? We want to be able to come together and share the offense and share the difficulty. Why? So that we can gain our brother, so we can retain our relationship, so that we can stop and stem the tide of the enemy destroying and dividing, dividing and destroying the church. Now, not nine, I don't know percentage-wise, I say exaggerated, you know, 99% of the problems would be solved if we would just to practice this. But whatever the percentage is, much of the difficulties in the church would be if we were prayerful and we were careful in handling our difficulties, even as leaders, even as pastors, even as spiritual overseers. If we would just handle it that way, man, the Lord would be glorified. And you know as well as I do, when this happens, just verse 15, it is glorious. It is wonderful. But you know, there are times when it doesn't happen. I have a few in my life. It just doesn't happen. The person doesn't want to repent, doesn't want to receive, doesn't believe they did anything wrong, blame it all on me, you know, all of that. Because when we come together, we're going to both share in the difficulty. I mean, it's not like we come in perfectly innocent, but when there's real repentance, that also needs to be matched by real forgiveness. And I have a few times where it's like, no, they didn't want to listen. No, it's all your fault. No, I didn't do it. Or, you know, you have a person that goes, well, I'm sorry, maybe kind of, if you ever felt bad because maybe I did this. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? How about just repenting of the behavior, or repenting of what you wrote, or repenting and let's just walk in forgiveness and move on. So if you're unable to solve it with verse 15, then it says, verse 16, if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So now you have two independent witnesses that, again, depending on who you're dealing with, I mean, if it's your pastor, then, you know, you got a heavier situation than just a fellow brother. But the principle is the same. You take a couple people and you try to resolve it. And if not that, then, and if it's a really a major sin issue and they don't want to hear and repent, then you take it to the church. And if they don't listen to the leadership of the church, the elders, the board, then they need to be put under church discipline. And that's a difficult thing to be a part of, but it's necessary. But most of the time, verse 15 will bring back like-mindedness. Love will flow. Sometimes tears will flow and hugs. And we're like, oh, let's get back on track, man. This is so good. I didn't even know I offended you. Please forgive me. I don't ever want to offend you again. And the Lord gets the victory and the church moves forward. Because offenses will happen. A great book, just reminding me right now, a great book that is a good topic on this is The Prisoner in the Third Cell. I think the author is Gene Edwards. It's the same book. You should get them together, A Tale of Three Kings. They go together. Tale of Three Kings just speaks to our hearts as leaders that we don't want to be like Saul and we don't want to be like Absalom. We want to be like David. Great book. And then he wrote a book that's a little more obscure but just equally as great is The Prisoner in the Third Cell. And it speaks about how to handle our offenses and especially when we're offended by Jesus, when he doesn't come through the way we thought he would or whatever. We're just offended at God and we're upset. And the Lord wants to bring healing. I think that's a word from the Lord for you right now. He wants to bring healing into your life. He wants to restore relationships. He wants to strengthen you in your pain. He wants to pour out his spirit in a special way. And he wants you to be like-minded with your pastor. He wants you to be like-minded with those that are in your life. He wants you to serve without hindrance and be used greatly by the Lord. Again, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, If there's any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Check this out. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And it's super important that we in ministry, as we serve together, that we're like-minded. Not conformed, right? We're not going to agree everything all the time, but we're generally going to agree on most things and serve the Lord, even if we have a few differences. Because some of the greatest relationships and friendships you will ever have is serving together in your local church family. But I also say that some of the most painful relationships you'll experience will be those very same people when there is a lack of like-mindedness and a lack of humility and a lack of repentance and a lack of loving one another and having the same mind and the same love, which leads us to the next one. The next topic is loyalty and submission. Again, just these are not popular topics. There's such an independent streak about us. But a pastor, a spiritual leader, is loyal, submissive, and fully committed to the Lord. So loyalty to Jesus, to your wife, to your husband, to other people, and your pastor is vital to your ministry overseer. Your pastor, in particular, needs someone by his side who will support him and defend him and be true to him and to the vision that God has given to him. That includes speaking the truth to him, but it includes, like, be a loyal, faithful guy, like David's or Jonathan's armor bearer. Be a faithful, don't be like Absalom, who was unfaithful to his dad. Be faithful like Jonathan's armor bearer. I mean, he had his back. Be a true friend and be loyal no matter what is happening. Stand by the man that God has raised up to pastor the flock. Never are you required. For clarity's sake, I say this with the proper balance of biblical instruction. Never are you required to overlook or excuse sin. Even in the worst of situations, we're still required to point people to the Lord as we're trying to resolve sin issues. You don't overlook sin. You don't pretend it's not there. You don't have the fear of man where you won't confront it. You won't talk about it. But make unconditional love and fidelity a trademark of your life. Let it be who you're known as, a faithful, loyal man, a faithful, loyal sister in the Lord, a faithful, loyal brother, a faithful, loyal pastor, a faithful, loyal assistant pastor. Whatever role you have, if you really want to lead well by serving well, then make loyalty and submission and fidelity and utmost integrity what you're known by. And when you serve in the church, remember, there's one vision for the local fellowship in which you serve. There are not two visions, not 10, not 100, just one. So you and I, we have a responsibility to support our pastor's vision, our church's vision. And we have a responsibility to help those that we serve with, our ministry teams, those that come into the church, to rally around what God is doing in this local fellowship family. We aren't to take advantage of each other. We're not to take advantage of difficult situations to further our own agendas or undermine spiritual leadership. The temptation to become an Absalom is always a familiar tool in the enemy's hands to destroy you and the ministry under your care. But faithful, supportive, spiritual leaders, servants, assistant pastors, they don't draw people's hearts after themselves. They serve with utmost fidelity and integrity. They don't steal sheep from other congregations either. I had a brother here not too long ago, a few years ago, tell me that he was called to minister to every disgruntled person in our church fellowship. And I said, but bro, they're not disgruntled until they talk to you and you make them disgruntled. And I looked at him and I said, what you're doing is wrong. I mean, whether people want to attend your fellowship or not, I leave that to the Lord, and I trust the Lord with this flock. But for you coming in and wreaking havoc and causing damage and putting down the ministry here or putting down other servants here so you can pop yourself up, bro, that's just not from the Lord. And you have to step back and go, well, you know, the Lord's going to have to deal with him because he left. Like, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to build my church by taking people, hurting people, making them disgruntled so that he can be the only solution. That literally happened just a few years ago. That dude, the guy's still around. And he's still stirring up strife so that he can then rush in and be the savior to other people's problems that he created. And man, it's just so, it's so painful to see people follow that and to watch them be taken advantage of. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. You don't build on another man's foundation. You don't build your own little kingdom and draw people after your own little teachings. Whether you're a pastor or you've got a small group or you are teaching Sunday school, you don't draw people after yourself. Don't do it. It's not from the Lord. Point them to the Lord. And a unified team is what God uses, a unified team. Be careful to follow the model that Paul shared, that he said he would not build on another man's foundation. Division and disunity always disrupt the peace and prosperity of the Holy Spirit in a fellowship of believers. In Romans 13:1, it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." And it, let us be subject. In Romans 15:20, Paul said this, as I just mentioned, and let me quote it to you. And so I've made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. I don't want to build on another man's foundation. That was part of the ministry that moved us to Colorado. Marie and I had the privilege of serving a beautiful, wonderful home fellowship of believers that was growing and growing and growing, so much so that that we had to split it into two. And I was considering maybe taking that group in our home fellowship and perhaps planting a church right there near our house, you know, maybe within 6 to 8 miles of the church family I was a part of. But the Lord burned into my heart that these were, I'm sure Pastor Jeff would have been fine with it too. He's a very gracious pastor. I never really did ask him because I felt like the Lord was saying, no, I'm going to use you a different way. And these sheep, your friends, you know, those that you get to serve this home fellowship, which was such a beautiful time. These are part of the flock of Calvary Downey. And you're here to help support Pastor Jeff and minister to them and strengthen them. And that was always, and I don't want to build on another man's foundation. And that's part of what moved us here to Colorado. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work." Remind them to obey. And that's what I get to do on this episode of the podcast. Man, submission and loyalty. Let you be known as a loyal person. And that you want to serve well, be loyal. Be faithful. Be somebody that can be counted upon. That there's no ulterior motives. There's no weird passive-aggressive stuff. There's no undermining. There's no Absalom. There's no drawing people. Just serve the Lord and give God the credit. I forget who it was, but someone once said, man, you will excel in leadership and servanthood if you don't care who gets the credit. And isn't that true? Even at the highest levels in the church, if you don't care that Jesus gets the credit, which only he should, then you're just going to serve your heart out. But if you feel neglected and you feel, again, if there's real issues, then go talk to your leader about it. Have the conversation spiritually, prayerfully, carefully. But if it's just a spiritual attack, it's like, well, I feel left out or I feel neglected. Well, you know what? Take it to the Lord and see if he won't comfort you and encourage you and strengthen you and help you sort it out. But these are really important parts of servanthood, really important parts of, and again, like the Lord's just speaking to us, isn't he? It's like, I want to be faithful and I want to be loyal. I want to be known for my faithfulness and loyalty. I want to be known as a person that is not walking around with the fear of man, wishy-washy, and always afraid what they're going to think and what they're going to think. But instead, I'm just, my eyes are on the Lord. I want to be like-minded. I know there were people that came before me, so I want to be faithful to them, but I know there's people that are going to come behind me. I want to be faithful to them. I want to be someone that's reliable. And I want to serve with men and women that share that same desire to grow. And fortunately, over the years, God has allowed us to be a part of a fellowship family with many, many people that understand loyalty and understand fidelity and are of stellar character. And let that be you. Pray that into your life. Pray that into your leadership. Talk to them about it. One of the reasons why there's a lack of loyalty or like-mindedness is because you haven't communicated what your heart is. You haven't shared. You know, in our fellowship family, if you're from the Calvary Chapel frame of reference, one of the things we would just say, well, you know, you hear my heart in the pulpit. You hear my heart in the pulpit. And while that is true, you have to have more time than just the pulpit to know someone's heart. You're teaching a Bible study for sure, but man, what do you want me to do? And how do you want me to do it? And what does it look like? And have those discussions. It's not merely the pulpit. But Jesus was not, he spent time teaching, and that was his ministry, but he also spent time hanging out, shepherding the flock that was among him, sharing his heart, correcting, eating together, instructing, enjoying, rebuking. And so share your heart, leaders. And here's the thing, and we're about ready to close, but here's the thing. I know it's painful to be betrayed. Personally, I know that for a fact. It is one of the worst pains you could ever experience. And to the degree that you trusted and loved someone is to the degree how painful that betrayal will be. But here's the truth. You can't get away from it. There are simply Judases all around. There are people that maybe they started out well and then don't end well. There are people that you exchange sweet fellowship with that turn on you. And for whatever reason, and we need to have our hurts healed by the Lord, by the balm of Gilead. And I'm sorry if you've been betrayed. It is the worst. It is the worst. I mean, I can't share it with you because it's extremely personal, but I have an event in my life. It was a whole series of events, but one in particular where I was directly lied to. All the while, there was a sense that they were doing the right thing, but they were lying and they weren't doing the right thing because I trusted them. And it's, you know, it's painful. It hurts. Still to this day, it hurts. It hurts really bad. But the Lord is good. And God is able to meet the pain of our life with the goodness that he has in Jesus. Jesus was betrayed, but he rose again from the dead, and he's the healer right now. And I just pray healing into your life. And I'm sorry you were betrayed upon, but don't let that stop you from being loyal, from trusting, being careful with people in your life. Don't let that stop you, because God is faithful. So this ends today. Great that you joined me. Be sure to connect with me, ed@edtaylor.org. You can email me. You can text me at 720-608-0012. Of course, leave a review on the podcast so it continues to, the listeners grow every week. So thank you for that. I'm so grateful. And, you know, forward it on your social media. Share it with your friends. Again, if you have any questions you want answered on the podcast, I'd love to do that. I'd love to answer your questions and just talk through things. If we can serve you and help you in any way, reach out to us, ed@edtaylor.org, and download our free app. Just go to your app store, put in my name, Ed Taylor, download the app, turn on notifications, and I know the Lord will use that in your life. I will connect with you, will serve you, and until next time, this is a Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor, and we'll be back next time. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.